The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
Every nation goes through a cycle. Because of the wicked nature of man and the enticements of our enemy, Satan, power tends to concentrate at the top, which is tyranny. The citizens labor for years under a heavy burden heaped upon them by tyrants. But that oppression and control doesn't last forever. It eventually leads to rebellion. After rebellion comes prosperity. Freedom, innovation, and flourishing follow the overflow of tyranny. But then over time, with prosperity comes complacency, apathy, and then while the people are too preoccupied with bread and circuses, corruption, left unchecked, leads to the concentration of power again, and thus tyranny returns, bringing the society full circle and most often the destruction of the nation. I've always been interested in history. The original 13 colonies that became the United States were founded between 1607 and 1733, and all the original 13 colonies were built on Christianity. Our founders came here, to this new world, to escape the religious persecution and tyranny they suffered in their homelands. They came so they could freely worship the one true God of heaven and earth, our Creator. Whether you were Baptist, Puritan, Quaker, Lutheran, or something else, 99% of the colonists were Christians. Today, the best estimate I can find is that about 62% of adult Americans claim to be Christians, but according to recent surveys, fewer than 18% of them actually take their faith seriously. Actually, I believe that number is high. Probably 4% would be more accurate. The social and cultural destruction taking place in our nation today can lead you to no other conclusion. In Deuteronomy 28, we read, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Here are the blessings. The people will be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Their children will be blessed. Their crops will be blessed. Their cattle and flocks blessed. The economy will be blessed and people will be prosperous. They'll be blessed as they come in and as they go out. Enemies will be vanquished. The Lord will bless their storehouses and everything they set their hands to will be blessed. But when a nation turns its back on God and refuses to follow his commandments, all these things he's blessed will be cursed instead. His word says, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt only be oppressed evermore, and no man shall save thee." Here's something interesting I learned while doing research for this message. Some historians and political scientists have attempted to quantify the lifespan of nations, or empires. According to one estimate by political scientist R.J. Rummel, the average lifespan of an empire is roughly 250 years. For the United States of America, that's next year, folks, on July 4, Independence Day. I've seen a lot in my lifetime, and America's gone through some very tough times. There were times I didn't think things could possibly get any worse. Little did I know, I hadn't seen anything yet. Dare I say, none of us have seen anything yet, even now. I'm not trying to be alarmist or doom and gloom, and many will say America's best years are still ahead of us. That may be, but according to God's word, there's only one way that will ever happen. His people, yes, his own people, need to humble themselves, repent, and seek his face. But there remains only a small remnant of true Christ followers in America today. I have to wonder, in the average modern American church, can even 10 faithful ones be found? In 2008, a junior senator from Illinois, whose American citizenship was never even verified, took control of the White House, vowing to fundamentally transform America. I never thought he had a chance. I actually thought it was a joke. I never thought anyone would vote for Barack Hussein Obama. But this former community organizer, with a very mysterious past, somehow ended up as the so-called leader of the free world. Our first Muslim president, and dare I say, our first communist president, and somehow he remained for two terms. As I watched the news coverage of the celebrations around the country on the night of his first election, the Holy Spirit spoke to me with a dire warning that something historically evil was taking place. The masses worshipped Obama. The media even called him the Messiah. And then the fundamental transformation began in earnest. Prior to his election, we didn't have massive racial warfare. We didn't have rampant lawlessness in our streets. We didn't see Muslims beheading Christians, putting them in cages and burning them alive or drowning them daily. We didn't see our American cities burnt to the ground during mostly peaceful protests. We didn't have any problem identifying two distinct genders. Today, at least 72 are officially recognized. School children didn't think there were cats. Schools didn't provide litter boxes in the restrooms, and adult men didn't think they were little girls. Men didn't marry other men, and women didn't marry other women. We'd had trouble with illegal immigration for decades, but it was illegal then, not facilitated by our own government and paid for with our own tax dollars. Yes, we had problems, but we didn't have any of those. In 2016, Bernie Sanders ran for president as a Democratic Socialist. I thought that was a joke, too. I couldn't believe that even a Democrat would have the audacity to openly declare himself a socialist and expect to have any chance of winning. But in 2016, he came in second to Hillary. In 2020, he came in second to Biden, if you believe we still have elections and not selections. Now, if I had done my research, I would have known that the Democratic Socialists of America had been around since 1982, when they merged with the New American Movement, which went back to 1971, comprised of members of the New Communist Movement, Marxists, Socialists, and Feminists. This ideology had been slowly creeping into social, political, and cultural areas within our nation for decades, and in the early 80s, it finally gained a firm platform. It's now the largest socialist organization in America, with over 85,000 members. They're not a political party, but instead they ride shotgun with the Democrats. Recently, a Democratic Socialist was elected mayor of New York City, our nation's center of commerce, industry, and culture. His win can be attributed to all the free stuff he's promised. Rent freezes for rent-stabilized apartments, free bus transit, universal child care, and raising taxes on the wealthy, to name just a few. Zohran Mamdani is also proud to be a practicing Shia Muslim. And yes, Shia Muslims practice taqiyya, meaning they're allowed by their religion to lie in order to advance the goals of Islam. And in case you're wondering, yes, Shia Muslims are also required to perform jihad. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, Katie Wilson has become the new mayor of Seattle. She is also a proud socialist. I find it ironic and fitting that Seattle, now with new socialist leadership, is also home to the famous statue of Vladimir Lenin, prominently displayed in the Fremont District since 1995. For those who don't know, Lenin founded the USSR, implemented policies based on Marxist theory, ended freedom of the press and political dissent, and established a secret police organization which caused thousands of his opponents to simply disappear. Now here are some interesting statistics for you. Overall, 45% of American adults now view socialism favorably. Among the Gen Z population, ages 18 to 27, that number rises to 55%. But even among the old folks, the baby boomers, 20% of them now have a positive view of socialism. Friends, we're now in a place where a staggering number of Americans favor a socialist nation. How can this be? What's the appeal? Socialism, and yes, that does include democratic socialism, promises a fair distribution of wealth and resources. It promises government-provided health care, education, housing, and social safety nets. People like the idea of having access to the essentials without worrying about cost. It promises higher wages, shorter work hours, or no work hours at all, a freeloader's utopia. But what value will a so-called free college education have when everyone has one? What incentive will there be for people to work at all, to say nothing of aspiring to greater things or inspiring innovation, when big government is taking care of everyone's needs? I'm starting to see now how we will soon own nothing, but I doubt anyone will be happy as they promise. because that's how socialism and communism works. Take the Soviet Union, for example. Chronic shortages and inefficiency in production, no political freedoms, repression of speech and economic stagnation. Or look to the Eastern Bloc countries like East Germany, Poland, and Hungary during the Cold War era. Inefficient industries, black markets, and no innovation or competition. Or look to Venezuela today. Price controls, businesses confiscated by government, massive shortages of essential goods, hyperinflation, and the collapse of their currency. North Korea, also a socialist state, has the same disasters going on, which have caused severe famines, killing hundreds of thousands of people, chronic economic stagnation, and extreme isolation. The high school teachers and college professors don't mention these things to the gullible students under their influence. And so if you were to do man-on-the-street interviews with some of these students, and it's been done many times already, even among students marching, protesting, and demanding socialism now, you'd find the majority of these young people are madly in favor of socialism, but they cannot define it or tell you about how it's worked in other nations throughout history. And I doubt that anyone would choose to leave the America they've been taught to hate to go live in Venezuela or North Korea. On January 10, 1963, the current communist goals for America were read into the congressional record. I encourage you to look those goals up. You can also find them in a book called The Naked Communist. I'll only mention a few here. Capture one or both political parties in the United States. Done. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism in current communist propaganda. Done. And also, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. Double done. It's interesting that as I assemble this message, a new study from Barna just came out. It shows that churchgoers are now leaning towards socialism and away from Scripture. Here's just a short excerpt from that report. It says, one of the survey's most striking findings concerns economics. Despite a plurality identifying as conservative, one in three churchgoers, 32%, said they prefer socialism to capitalism. Only 46% reject socialism, while 22% are undecided. Support for socialism is especially strong among younger adults, blacks, those earning over $100,000 annually, and churchgoers lacking a biblical worldview. Among those identifying as LGBTQ, 60% expressed a preference for socialism, nearly double the national average. From Seattle to New York City, from sea to shining sea, while you were busy on your social media, socialism has crept in unawares. Now it's loud and proud in the USA. According to my research, there are socialists in positions of political power in 40 of our 50 states now. And it all begins locally. School board members, county board members, and mayors. The average lifespan of a nation? 250 years. For America, that's just a few months away now. Americans need to wake up, start paying attention, educate others, and identify and dismantle these threats to our once-cherished freedom. And it must begin with God's people doing more than just reciting 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we'd better start immediately because the curses of Deuteronomy 28 are upon us.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.